Hey listeners, welcome to Apocalypse and Avocados. It's Peter here. We're three queer millennials, Carissa, my sister, Sean, my partner, and we're just trying to make sense of the world we inherited. I just want to go around. You guys want to share a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Carissa. I'm Peter's sister. And I'm a fitness instructor for the senior community. And I guess the reason we all decided to start this was just because we were kind of sick and tired of things that are going on in the world today. And being queer on top of that adds, you know, another layer of stress to everything. So that's pretty much it. Sean?
Hey, I'm Sean, your friendly neighborhood stoner and drag enthusiast. I think Carissa had it right when she said that we wanted to start this just as a way to kind of deal with what's going on in the world and, connect with our community and let people know that there are other people out there going through this and they're not alone, and hopefully, you know, bring some joy to your week.
Yeah, definitely. Peter here. It's kind of hard out there, we know. We just kind of wanted to bring the dark humor, the sensitive fun, and just kind of make light of a bad situation. Everything's crumbling around us. It's apocalyptic, and we're just trying to get through it, just like everybody else. So just to give us a little insight with our name here, I know it's a little off the beaten track. We chose Apocalypse and Avocados as a nod to, like, climate doom, millennial cliches, and just trying to stay soft in a hard world. So, little light humor there. But we're also tired of bitching to our friends, and we thought we should bitch with other people here. All right. So, just to move on here, what you can expect to hear from our podcast. Chris, you want to touch on that?
Yeah, so we're kind of taking a different approach to things in the sense of, number one, we're millennials, but number two, we're also queer. So we're trying to give you a perspective from people within our age group as well as the LGBT community. We're going to talk a little bit about online dating or different adversity that we face in our daily lives. Being queer. And not only that, I think it's kind of interesting. You don't hear very much of this, but my brother and I are both queer. So that's something that's pretty different too, that we want to bring to the table and just kind of address and create a safe space here for everyone.
Absolutely.
So what you can expect to hear in the coming weeks, if you stay along with us, we're going to touch on politics, big hot topic right now. How it's affecting us and the world. We're going to go into a little bit of the environmental apocalypse, which we didn't create, by the way, nod to Gen Z there. We're going to talk about economic struggles, and we're just going to get real with it. So if you're easily offended, you probably should turn it off now. We are very brutal, and life has not been easy, so neither should this podcast. But this week, we're going to talk about online dating, which is something that became increasingly difficult or more popular during COVID. And we're going to talk about the struggles of being gay in the online world. We'll start with Carissa. Any, like, stresses or anything going on there?
Honestly, dating is a fucking shit show. being the ages that we are, too, I mean, you would think, like, I'm 37, so you would think by this time that people would grow up and stop playing games. But, I mean, it's the same shit, different day. And I never saw myself, you know, engaging in the online dating world. I did. I have an ex that I met actually through Facebook. We spent 7 years together, which is pretty crazy. We're no longer together. However, we are still really, really good friends. But it's just odd. It's odd. And not only that, like, I'm masculine presenting, so that makes it a little more difficult to approach women in the real world rather than online, just because you never know what you're going to get. I mean, I'm attracted to feminine women, and they could just be straight.
It's just like everything else. You lie online, show up, and it's like the 200-pound man from the basement. I just wanted to get to know you.
If I had a penny for every time someone, when I met someone, their picture was from like 10 years before, I'd be rich. People need to update their profile pictures.
Yeah, you can tell by the graininess anyway. But Carissa, are you on any apps?
No, not at the moment. I've had them, I've tried them, I've deleted them. I'm just not a fan, honestly. I mean, there were apps. I mean, Downlink. Do you guys remember Downlink? That was the lesbian dating app. I think I was in my 20s when that came out. I actually met one of my exes on it. And, I mean, I was lucky. She was who she said she was.
Crazy.
A little bit crazy, but yeah, I mean... What is it crazy about lesbian dating? Let's be real.
Oh, well, I wouldn't know anything about that.
Emotions, hormones, mood swings, forget it.
PMS. U-Hauls, a cat.
Three cats.
Five more cats.
Dunkin' Donuts, coffee. Camping trips.
Patchouli and chapstick.
Plaid.
Birkenstocks and sandals.
Oof. They don't look good on anyone.
You'll never catch me in Birkenstocks. Just saying. It's not really my thing.
But just wanted to get some insight. What was it like on the apps? Because we can go into it when we were on them. But did you see anything crazy? Did somebody ever send you anything crazy?
Honestly, I feel like women are a little more reserved to an extent. Just to put it lightly, they're reserved to an extent. And the reason I say that is because sometimes you go on there and you'll get pictures, and they're like provocative pictures, and they're posing, and their makeup is caked on, and they're clearly not who they say they are. I mean, for instance, met a girl, beautiful, full face of makeup, slept over, next morning, no eyebrows. I mean, come on.
That must have been jarring. She must have looked surprised. Oh my God, looked like a foot.
Honestly, there was no way to describe it. I was just like, what the actual fuck? And this was when I used to drink. So, you know, I was bringing things home that I thought looked good. And God only knows what I was bringing home then.
Beer goggles.
Seriously.
But we can touch on it. It sounds like it's more tame. In the lesbian world.
Far more tame.
Yeah. As far as gay world, everyone knows Grindr is a huge one. Sean and I actually met on Grindr. It was not a hookup situation. Sean and I met and we...
Well, I thought it was going to be, but he had different plans.
Yeah, 12 years later, here we are. But it was interesting. We kind of just hit it off. We're expecting something and something else came from it. But normally when you get on any of these gay apps, it's just like the mystery is gone. You see the picture and you're like, oh, this guy is attractive. And then you hear the and they've messaged you and it's just a picture of their dick, like right in the face. Like, I don't want to see that.
Well, that's how it was when we were on them. But since when we went back on them, Peter and I are open to a third person being in our relationship if it's the right person. And we looked for a little while. Now that they have these albums that they can put out there, all of a sudden, it's so-and-so unlocked their album. You click it, and it's like the seven colors of their butthole.
Yes, the hyperpigmentation. It really throws me off. Especially if somebody sends you, like, I would imagine it would be jarring if somebody just sent you full frontal of their vagina on there. And I don't know if that's happened.
It's not happened to me.
Well, thank God. But somebody sends you a full Ashel, and it's like the Seven Colors Lagoon, where it's hyperpigmentation. and it's just like layers of different brown, and it doesn't look right. It looks like it's stained and looks unhygienic, but it's like more than that. You're staring at someone's asshole. Like, you can see someone's lunch. The mystery is gone. Great, you ate shellfish today. Cool, moving on. Block. I don't know. That, for me, you need some sense of mystery. You don't want to see the whole package right up front, because then you're like, oh.
What are you working for?
Yeah, this isn't fun. Am I the only one that feels like this?
I agree with you there. Honestly, that's something that I find on a dating app is if I'm scrolling through someone's album, I think it's great. Like, post a picture with your cat or your dog. Fine. I don't need to see your tits. I don't need to see you in lingerie.
I'd rather see it in person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's facts, actually. I'd rather see it in person. And not only that, leave a little mystery for me, because if you're putting pictures out there like that, as much as people say they don't judge, they do. They absolutely do. And I tell you right now, I scroll right past you if your boobs are out or you're in some lingerie, just because that's just not attractive to me.
Yeah, and I think there's another part of it that's kind of like, if you're putting that right out there for everyone without any discretion of who's seeing it, what are you showing to everybody else that you are being discretionary about? Like, you're very open. Has everyone seen all of you? Has everyone seen your lunch for the past few weeks?
Right. I totally agree with you. And from my perspective, I feel like that's a problem with people that are our age and are single. They really just don't give a fuck about a serious commitment or a relationship. I mean, you guys are lucky to have what you have.
That's one word for it.
But I mean, 12 years, come on, like, let's clap for these guys. In the gay world, that's like 50 years.
It is definitely not without its challenges, but obviously you get into little tiffs, and that's honestly tells you that you care. That's what you should really be striving for. I understand what these dating apps, that they're just kind of looking to get instant gratification. That's cool. But just be a little, have a little more self-respect, and don't send me your peen. Like, I don't want to look at your third eye. Okay.
Right.
If it's asked for, by all means, send it. However, if it's not, it's like instant block. I don't want to test drive the car. It's staying on the fucking lot. I don't care that you think that I'm attractive. I am obviously I'm done. Like, completely flaccid. We're good. But yeah, I feel like this became a big thing during COVID, which was one of the many apocalyptic events in our life. And people just kind of lost all sense to communicate, in my opinion. Like, they just got really entitled, or just because of the lack of interaction with people, they kind of got stupid.
I feel like they just forgot how to socialize with each other, have a face-to-face conversation. I mean, I can say that I even struggled a little bit at the time. I was working at a gym. I currently work in a gym. And I had to stay home for 3 months. And at first I was like, holy shit, I'm going to get these giant paychecks, right? And I'm staying home. But then here comes week one. Week one's fine. Like, I'm gaming. I'm working out in the house or, like, going for walks. Week two, it's like, all right, shit, this is boring. What do I do with my life? Then you find yourself, you know, online chatting with people because that's all you can do.
Yeah.
And even still, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but for me, it's extremely awkward to have a conversation with somebody online and try to get to know them.
Yeah, I can see that. Plus, like, when somebody just goes in and they say, sup? Like,
right.
If you can't say more than one word when you're just, like, trying to get my attention, it's not cool. It's not cute. Say, hey, what's up? How's it going? Like, that's three words. It didn't take you that much more to put in a little bit of effort, but that's just me. Sorry. Go ahead.
I love when they'll ask you a question and you answer, and then you say, what about you? And it's just same.
Nice.
Hot. Cool.
Sweet.
Fuck. Damn.
or it could be the typical fuck me.
Oh, yeah.
That happens? Seriously, I'm asking. That really happens?
Yes. Oh, my God. Some other people, you would be surprised. Some other people even have it in their username. It's just like, fuck my ass. Fuck my...
Use me like a rag doll bitch or your cum slave and shit like that.
One time, wow. We were here. We were having a few drinks, Peter and I, and we were on the apps just like talking to people. This is when we were looking for a third actively, and I remember there was this person who messaged us, and then their friend messaged us to tell us that the person who had originally messaged us was being arrested at a rest stop. And I'm like, okay, this is too much. This is a bit too, I need to get the hell off these apps. This is not the crowd I want to run with. And listen, I was a little hoe bag when I was younger. So this is a complete turnaround for me, but.
He's a reformed.
I don't know. These people are crazy.
Yeah. You turned a hoe into a housewife or house husband. Excuse me. I
mean, he don't cook. He don't clean. I don't know how he got the ring. Anyway, it's just a whole different world on there. And I don't want to yuck anybody's yum, but your kinks are your kinks. And not everybody needs to know. Just play it a little closer to the heart. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with you. How about bios? Like, you guys check out people's bios. Obviously, that's like the first thing you look at, besides their profile picture when you're scrolling. You get the profile picture, right? The age, mm-hmm. and the bio. You guys come across any weird bios?
Oh, my goodness.
The ones that are just emojis, like peach, eggplant, water droplets. Obviously, their bottom.
Again, not trying to yuck anyone's yum, but sometimes you get the profiles that are quite descriptive about their extreme kinks. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's totally fine if you like to play baby and wear a diaper, but I don't think that everyone wants to see that or know about it. So maybe choose the audience correctly. Yeah, maybe there's an app specifically for you.
For diaper babies.
Again,
I'm pretty sure Mango Mussolini's on it.
Again, mystery. Where is the mystery?
The mystery isn't who changes the diaper, I guess.
One time, guys are so crazy. Peter and I were talking to someone once, and they literally sent us pictures of themselves being impaled by sex toys.
Yep.
No way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm horrified.
Just like a huge pink dildo, and it's just there. Like, just, I'm sorry, I'm looking off into the distance because that's where my mind went.
And it was totally unprovoked, too. It's just like, all of a sudden there's a message. Oh, so-and-so messaged us. What the hell?
Yeah, or they're like, hey, Poppy. Because Carissa and I are Hispanic, sorry.
There's nothing Peter hates more than being called Poppy.
Yeah, or Daddy. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I have a dad, and when you say it, mine goes automatically to my dad. I'm like, no, just want to throw up. But yeah, that's instant. So as soon as somebody says, hey, Poppy, or hey, Daddy, I'm like, no, cut him off.
That's funny.
They're out of here.
You know, I have women that actually call me mommy, and I think it's kind of sexy for them to say that. I don't want them to call me like mommy, like mom, you know, but like, I'm Hispanic, say mommy, okay, cool. I dig that.
Yeah, but I think it's a little easier. It's not like saying, yeah, mother. It's just like a cute nickname.
Yeah.
Like someone calling her Chola or Chula, whatever.
Chula, yeah.
I guess it kind of would depend on how the word has been used in your life up until that point, too. Like, if like that Peter said, it has that connotation of bringing up your father, that's not something that's sexy to him. But if someone else has it as like a term of endearment from a significant other, then yeah, to them it might be sexy.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you there.
The only people that will call me Papi or Daddy are my kids, and even that is negotiable.
Papi.
Absolutely gross. But yeah, that's a little bit of about the online dating, because if we keep talking about it, and seriously, I'm going to throw up.
We could probably dedicate an entire episode just to that one topic.
I'm actually kind of baffled, like, that this is the stuff you guys have experienced. Because, I mean, I've done a little bit of online dating here and there, but I feel like women are a little more reserved than men.
So are they not, like, looking for hookups on the sites that are geared more towards lesbians?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Okay. I think it's kind of funny that that's an option you can select on the lesbian dating sites now, is like you can select whether you're looking for a long-term relationship or you're just looking for something casual, or if you're looking for friends. These are options that you can select.
But are they honest? Like, are they honest when you actually communicate with them, or is it like, I'm looking for a long-term relationship, but then they get there and they're like, pull your pants down?
Well, yeah, like that can happen. That could definitely happen. I'd say in my experience, you know, I have met and dated a couple women offline. They were both looking for long-term relationships. Both of them, I would say, didn't give it up right away, but they did leave a little mystery until we met in person, you know?
Yeah. It's understandable. It's good.
Which was good.
Acceptable.
Yeah. But nowadays, it pisses me off, because if you write something to somebody on a dating app now, right? And it's like, hey, how are you? Thanks for the like here. What do you do for a living? Nails. Come on, give me something more than that. Like,
or they just put an emoji.
Yeah.
Like the little devil horns. I'm so sick of seeing that everywhere. God.
One word answers, and also not. Or another thing I hate is when you ask someone a question and they just answer you and there's nothing to go off of to continue the communication. It's just like, the answer to your question, and okay, that was my entire effort. I have nothing else left in me.
Yeah, they don't re-engage.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
That is such a turnoff to me. At that point, I'm just like, you know what? I'm all set. You're not worth my time. If I can ask you a question and you're not going to re-engage with me, or you're going to give me not even a one-word answer, but let's talk about what's the word that I'm looking for, where they give you the three letters?
Oh, the, like, LOL.
Yeah.
The acronyms.
Yes, the acronyms.
To be honest.
TBH. What do you do for your living? TBH nails. Come on.
Please, I've never heard of TBH nails before. What kind of nails are those?
Where's that salon located?
If you can't even take the time to write out the fucking word or spell out the word, then you're not worth my time texting, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, can we also talk about when people intentionally spell a word wrong, but it does not shorten it in any way, shape, or form? Like when they switch an I for a Y or something really, that annoys the fuck out of me.
Oh my God.
Or when they say, like, yeah, just for example, when somebody goes curls and then they change the S to a Z.
Yes.
The same thing. Why don't you just spell it grammatically correct?
Right. Now you just look like you don't know how to spell.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, a turnoff.
Yeah, and just like for everyone who's listening, when you're sitting there and you don't re-engage, the one thing that goes through somebody's mind is, okay, I'm trying to get to know them, but they clearly have no interest in me. Like, you don't want to get to know me. You're not asking an open-ended question that I can answer. You're just, it's like looking at a chody peen. It's just there.
Exactly.
And you're not going to do anything with it. So
I'm not going to do anything with it. You're not going to do anything with it.
That's the best analogy I've heard.
So, yeah, it's just insane. I don't know how you could even deal with that. It sounds like that's a common occurrence across both.
Oh, for sure. It's frustrating. That's why, to me, it's just not even worth it at this point. If I'm going to meet somebody, I'm going to meet somebody, and it's going to be in person. I'm not going to even engage when it comes to the online dating world because it's absolutely ridiculous.
But you also feel like you don't want to engage, but you also feel like that's the only way that you can meet somebody, because if you try and do it organically going to a bar, you feel old. I don't know if that's just me. I'm 34, and I feel like going to the gay bars and the gay clubs, you feel old. You have all these little Twinkies that are rolling around that you just want to feed. Like, say it with me. Cheeseburger.
I mean, you're not wrong. I can remember going not too long ago and feeling like I was one of the older people there. But at the same time, I feel that in a gay bar, there's such a wide variety of ages in a gay bar most times that, yeah, there's young people, but there's always going to be older people as well.
Yeah, the queens don't know that the party is over back in the 50s and they're still there in
the room. Voguing in the mirror.
Dancing in the mirror is just insane.
That actually is so entertaining to me.
I can understand doing it. You're young. You just want to look at yourself and you think you're hot. But that doesn't last forever. Just saying. So I guess enjoy your mirror time, because when you're in your 30s and your 40s, it's not so cute.
Yeah.
In the words of Bianca Del Rio, pretty fades, dumb is forever.
Yeah, I can get it. But the going out and meeting people organically is kind of strange, too. Not only do you feel old, but when you actually meet the person, you don't really know what's going to happen in this world. Like, right now, you go out and you go to a bar. This person could be a serial killer. They could be a serial killer online, but at least there's a computer between you two.
It's true. I mean, look at fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
I mean, yeah, he went out.
He was attractive and charming, and he went to gay bars, and he met people to bring them home and kill them and eat them.
Yeah?
I mean, it's still like there's no, I guess, that gray was too area. Much
mystery.
Yeah. No, but you're right. I agree with you. Being in your 30s and going to the gay bar, you do feel old. And meeting people is awkward. I'm going to just touch on myself. I'm 9 months sober. And going to a gay bar or any type of bar now, being sober, is extremely awkward for me.
Because you realize that you were one of these people, and now you see it. Because before, you were just having a good time when you're drinking, and you don't really care how you come across to people. But now you're on the receiving end. You get to see how foolish everyone is when they're drunk.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that something that for me that has been difficult to come to terms with or realize is that I still am the same person sober that I was drunk. I'm just a little more reserved and, I guess, less edgy. That's the best way to put it. Yeah, but I wish my friends still saw that. Some of my friends.
Yeah, you didn't change. You just became less in your face.
Which is probably a good thing. I mean,
what is it like as far as being around people that are used to you drinking and not drinking anymore? What's that like? Because I'm sure that's something that other people can resonate with as well.
At first it was a little bit awkward because all of my friends drink. I mean, that's pretty much how we all met, was we were all drinkers and partiers and we did stupid things. And most of my friends now are pretty receptive to it, which is kind of nice. I mean, they still drink, but like, for instance, I went to the casino last night with one of my best friends, and she still drinks, and she totally respects the fact that I don't drink. And she pulled one of the waiters over, and she's like, hey, you know, can I get a Hennessy and Coke? hey, Carissa, what kind of soda or drink do you want? We can get you a mocktail. We'll ask this guy right here, you know? So it's awesome. I think it's wonderful that my friends are very open to it. But at first it was a little weird. It was almost like I didn't know how to interact with people. And I was socially awkward and a little more introverted than I normally am.
Yeah, it sounds like you had what everyone calls liquid courage originally. But now you had to kind of relearn who you were without that.
Right, exactly. And I guess the liquid courage that I had really was something deep down inside. It actually has always been there. I just didn't need the liquid anymore.
Yeah, I can see how it would be a little weird around people. But it's nice to know that you have a support system among your friends. And those are the ones you can call friends, the ones that respect your decision. And still, they encourage you to just be yourself. And they're okay with it. Keep them around. They're good people.
Yeah, mocktails. I have to have a mocktail with these guys. So they don't offer me shots.
But... yeah, so just moving on, it sounds like everything's going a little bit to hell. I don't know about you guys, but can we talk about how the Trump effect is real? How one man is just like the symptom of everything broken in this country now?
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, for sure.
In case you didn't know, we live in a very blue state. So we are three Democrats here. We did not vote for Trump or the orange Cheeto that some people, Cheeto Hitler, whatever you want to call
it. Tangerine Tyrant, Mango Mussolini. I've heard a lot of them.
I've heard a lot of different names.
I saw someone online the other day had him as the Fanta Fear. I thought that was pretty funny.
That's a freaking insult to Fanta. I mean, come on. Yeah.
They're great soda. Just the best. it's getting really sickening to see it every single day. I don't know about you, but when the stress is real, you shouldn't have to wake up every day and just, oh yeah, he's banned toilets. Shit, literally, where am I gonna shit?
I don't understand how people can listen to him speak and think, yeah, that sounded great. That is a smart fucking guy right there. Have you heard him talk about wind?
No.
Oh, God.
He talks about how wind is so bad and how it's the most expensive kind of energy and it's messing up the oceans and the whales. Why is there wind in the ocean? On top of the ocean, maybe, yeah, but not in the actual ocean, sir.
That's nuts.
What's it doing to the whales? I'm very confused.
That was about all he said. He said something about in some places they had in 20 years two whales wash up on shore. Oh wow. So that's one every 10 years. That doesn't sound like as big of a problem as he's making it out to be.
And wind.
I mean, it's not great that they're beaching themselves, but
no. Of course, I'm not saying that that's good, but don't blow a problem out of proportion like that. It's the same thing he's doing with trying to say that trans people shouldn't be able to play sports under the gender that they are, that they need to go by their biological or their birth gender. And I think that that's ridiculous because a lot of these people are now thinking that there's this massive epidemic of athletes out there that are beating out other athletes based on this advantage that they have that they don't have. And there's really only like, I believe Peter told me before, it was like a 1% of the athletes are trans. So it's a very, very, very small number.
There are 10 individual trans athletes, pro athletes in the United States.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
10.
And he's making a big deal about this.
About 10 people. He wants to change all of the laws. 10 people who are just being themselves.
That's ridiculous. And if you think about it, I mean, granted, you know, professional sports are separate, you know, they're divided between men and women. But I know plenty of women that would be totally fine with a co-ed sport. You know what I mean? Not that this is to say that this is the same thing. But I mean, if somebody is transitioning, let them play the sport. under the gender that they feel the most comfortable doing it as. I mean, what's the issue? They're still competing.
I completely agree. And there was a situation where he spoke about a trans woman who won some type of bike packing race. And it was in, I want to say, Arizona, but she beat someone's record, and he was going on saying that it was because she was a trans woman. Cut to the fact that it's a co-ed race, so like she was racing against men and she beat women. Men too.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then not only that, there is a trans male boxer out there, and he is rising up, and he has been beating biological or cisgender men. Like, it's just ridiculous, because you can't say that one has an advantage over the other when the exact opposite is happening, and it's being, this person does not have a disadvantage against these men that he is fighting against.
Right. I agree with you completely. I mean, if you think about it this way, we're all of us biologically, we have hormones. Now you're going to take me into my fitness stuff here. I'm sorry. I'm going to get a little science-y on you. But all men and women both have testosterone and estrogen. Some women have more testosterone than estrogen, and vice versa for men.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, when you're transitioning, you're just getting a little extra of a hormone that you already have.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, there's so much wrong with them trying to ban gender-affirming care, because it's not just for people who are transitioning. It's for, like you said, women who have too much more testosterone than what their body would normally create. And they may need some kind of treatment to help with it. And maybe it has to do with growing hair somewhere where they wouldn't, or, you know, anything along those lines. And there's men who get
their nose.
Yeah. Mustaches, beards, things like that. I know. But then there are men on the other side where they can develop breasts due to gynecomastia. So there's lots of different things out there that are treating these things that are not just about transitioning. Also, I think we should probably also consider, what's the word I'm looking for? Like Viagra? Wouldn't that kind of be like gender-affirming care? You can't get hard anymore, so we're giving you this so that you can still feel like a man?
No, that's for old white men.
Exactly. So they can still feel like a man. So gender-affirming care.
Anyway, yeah, I think that there are a lot of things that people need to realize, that trans is not a epidemic. It is the same, not the same, but similar to how when women get ready in the morning, they put on that full face of makeup to feel like the way that they feel they should. That it gives them confidence, or it's how they identify. Trans people are just people. They were born with not enjoying their outward appearance, or it just doesn't match how they feel inside. It's not taking away from anybody else. They are just making sure that the outside looks like the in, or how they feel. That is it. It's not an epidemic. It is, if anything, it's an epidemic for plastic surgeons, but not anything like that. But yeah, they're just trying to feel how
just trying to be themselves.
Yeah. And I think everyone can relate to that, and they need to stop treating them like they're any different.
And on that note, there's no trans or gay agenda. Like, we don't want to indoctrinate any children. Trust me, children are a lot to deal with. I don't have any of my own yet. And when I do, those are the only kids that I care about, like, teaching anything to. I just want kids who grow up like we did to at least know that they're not alone. No one's going out there trying to tell your kids to be gay. It can suck sometimes. I love being a gay man now, but back then I I didn't know that it was okay, and it sucked. You can learn to hate yourself. And I think that the only agenda we have is just trying to let other people know that they're not alone. That's the only thing.
Right, just educating people, basically.
Yeah, I think that that's a big thing with this country at this moment. So we grew up in completely different states. The education system is not unified amongst the entire country. So every single state in this country has a different history curriculum that they teach, a different science curriculum that they teach. There's no unified education system, and so hate spreads. And I'm sorry, you're not born hating someone. That is a learned behavior, and you need to stop it now. It should end with us. That is it. But to bring it back to a lighter note here.
Got deep.
Yeah, it did. let's talk about something that really, really grinds my freaking gears about millennials, or the fact that, no, I'm sorry, let's bring it back. The Gen Zs that think this is a millennial issue, it's actually boomer blindness is what we call it. The fact that rent is continually rising and the cost of living is not rising with it, so therefore we are stuck.
You mean the minimum wage?
Yeah, it's not rising to meet the cost of living, so we're all struggling, but we're getting constantly blamed for it, and it's kind of disgusting. Like, we can't afford the eggs just like everyone else can't afford the eggs right now. It's not an issue we caused, but it was a preventable issue. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Sorry, I just went on a tangent.
No, I agree. I think that a lot of boomers specifically like to talk about the good old days. And I can remember being a kid going to the grocery store with my parents, and we could buy a week's worth of groceries for $60. Now you go to the grocery store, you're lucky if you come home with four or five items for $60. It's not the same world that they were living in. And while prices are going up, like Peter said, the amount of money that people are making is not going up to match it. And what employers are expecting for experience and education is becoming just absolutely ridiculous for what they're willing to pay.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I mean, Peter, I'm sure you remember when we were kids, Mom used to coupon, and that's how she grocery shopped. And Sean, you're right. I mean, 50, 60 bucks was a lot of money back then, and you could come home with a lot of stuff. You can clip coupons now, and you're still not getting very good deals. Or my favorite, okay? I think Big Y does this more than any other store. Buy two, get one free. But the price you're paying for two, you would normally pay for fucking three. So, I mean, really, what's the bargain there? You tell me.
Remember when it was BOGO? Buy one, get one. Now it's buy two, get one. That's terrible.
You know what I love is when you go to see the sale, and that's what it is. It's like, buy one, get one. Must buy four. I don't need four boxes of Cheez-Its, thank you very much.
Right.
That's a lot of Cheez-Its.
The hell am I going to do with that?
Remember when we were growing up and you would get like a 2 liter of soda and it would be like 65 cents?
Oh my God.
And Now it's what, like $3?
That's the same price for a 20 ounce, by the way.
Well, I remember when the king size candy bars were like 99 cents, and not to sound like a boomer right now, but yeah, things were so much cheaper. But that's just a prime example of how quickly things have risen in price since we were kids.
So, I mean, it's not just food prices at this point. It's everything. It's housing prices, cost of living, cars.
Yep, gas.
Gas. Everything.
Just to put things into perspective a little bit, $50 in 1990, the year I was born, today would be worth $121.53.
Wow. That adds up basically exactly, adds up very well to what we were just saying, because I would say that Peter and I would spend about $120 on groceries a week. Yeah. Around there, somewhere around
or
there.
Or more, yeah.
But I mean, think about
it.
That's
if you get eggs.
That's just the two of you. I mean, imagine like bigger households.
Yeah, my parents were doing that. They were spending like $60, maybe $80 on them and three kids, my brother and sister. So, I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, and it just keeps going up. But if you think back, this did start with the boomers. The whole canned food epidemic that started in the 50s, they needed to can things so that they lasted longer. Then the GMOs came along to make the food bigger so that it would go further. That also started around the 70s. So it's just been a colossal fucknut of life, and we are not responsible. We are dealing with it the same way that you are, except we don't have TikTok as an income.
Just right. Saying. I think we're the last generation to actually work a 9-to-5.
Oh, it's so terrible.
For the most part, it seems that way. I mean, don't get me wrong, Gen Z, if you are listening, we know that there are some of you out there that are, you know, doing the same thing as us. We don't think it's all of you. We just, we're on the same team. We don't need to be at odds with each other.
Yeah, and can you stop calling us chuggy? Because it's such a dumb word.
What the hell is that? I haven't heard that.
Yeah. It's basically like boomer.
Oh, now I feel really old. I didn't even know this slang term. Yeah,
that's because it's not real. Oh, they call it. Stop calling us that. It is an absolutely ridiculous word. It sounds stupid. It sounds like something you put in your mouth and you get like gum. Like you get a wad of freaking gum. That's what it sounds like to me.
Then listen, we're still waiting for Gen X to finish with their time of stepping into the positions of power for our turn. There needs to be a peaceful transfer of power between each generation. We just need to kind of work together. Gen X and millennials are pretty good about it. We just need that
to flow in.
Yeah, with Gen Z.
And they need to go to work. Yes. Just saying.
Not just TikTok.
Right. You need to stop living off your parents for the most part. Not all of you. Just want to state that. Not all of you. But get out of your parents' house and do something other than sit there and flick through TikTok and sitting there on dating apps and then just going out and hooking up. We do not need any more babies in this country right now. But I think that we've covered a good amount of things and people can kind of see what we're going to do in the coming weeks if you stay with us. I do want to pass this over to Sean. If you want to join the conversation, just rage with us, laugh a little bit, laugh a lot, cry a little bit, that's fine too. Sean, where can they reach us?
We're on just about every social that you can imagine. We're getting some of them set up still, but we do have an active Facebook page under Apocalypse and Avocados that is with the word and spelled out. We also are on Instagram as Apocalypse_and_avocados. Find us on Instagram and Threads with that, and Blue Sky and Twitter with Apoc and Avocados. We're also on Snapchat with that username as well.
Sean, I'm so glad you're well-versed in the social media world because I feel old.
And we do have some plans for social media. We're hoping to be able to engage with you guys through it, share some of our favorite things through Pinterest and Spotify and everywhere. So we're hoping to make you guys part of the family.
And we are having a website going up shortly. You'll be able to subscribe there, get our blog posts, communicate with us, just rant with us, and we'll let you know what's coming up in the next week so you guys can join the conversation. But yeah, let's just build a space where we all feel a little less alone and a little more seen.
Sounds like a plan.
So thanks again for joining us, listening in. We appreciate you. We've been Apocalypse and Avocados. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
See you next week.
Hey, thanks for listening to Apocalypse and Avocados. If you laughed, cringed, or yelled same at any point, do us a favor. Hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never have to miss an episode. If you really want to make our day, share this episode with a friend, or three, who needs some chaos and avocado energy in their life. Don't forget to follow us on socials for behind-the-scenes rants, memes, and questionable life advice. You'll find us everywhere at Apocalypse and Avocados. Seriously, your support keeps us going and might even save us from being replaced by podcasting robots. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.